Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey everybody, Mark from Rams Up here, back with another roundtable. I got Ian and Paul with me. How's it going, Paul?
Fantastic. Excited to talk a little Ram football.
Yeah, we got a number of things we're going to talk about here. And how are you doing, Ian?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's a lot happened this last week, guys. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Good.
Yeah, a lot.
And interesting. I'll say that.
Yeah, a lot of little things. No, not really any big news. The big news, I think, is going to come in the next couple of weeks. Tom can't join us. He's slammed with some other stuff. So we're going to roll with the just us three. I think we can handle it. The first topic, and this is almost bordering on old news, but it was a big deal signing DeMarcus Robinson, bringing him into the fold. And So with DeMarcus on board, I'll start with you, Paul. Does this change your next mock draft at all?
Yeah, it does a little bit. Yeah, sure. Getting D-Rob back in the fold, we know we have our three receivers ready to roll. When we did our last mock, and for those of you out there in Ram Nation, mock draft number 4 is out there. Take a look. But also our special segment on the Apuka Power Picks. Those draft gems that people are overlooking.
And real quick, Paul, you called it. Everyone who doesn't know, you called it. You said Puka was going to be a dude, and it ended up being that dude. Respect. You called that last year.
Any fifth round gem is now just called a Puka.
It's just called a Puka pick, right? A Puka power pick, right? But we did a whole segment on those type of players that just have that dog in them. We did it based on, what was it, pick 100, or they have to be lower than pick 100 in terms of their average draft position. But so definitely take a look at that. But Yeah, I think, you know, adding another receiver to round out that room, you know, we're going to assume that Trammell's not coming back, thank goodness.
I don't know, Paul. He seems to make his way back on the squad some way.
He's like that penny that you can't get rid of, right? That always winds up showing up. True. But, you know, I think D-Rob is a quality signing. He's an undervalued receiver. People learned that last year. I think the Rams learned that last year. We definitely have seen a trend that McVay wants to go four wide a little bit more. Definitely wants to push the ball downfield a little bit more. So that 4WR position for the Rams is going to be huge this year. And whether they go young player through the draft, which I think would be a great idea. There are a lot of players out there. Or whether they do a signing. And you never know. Something midway through the year. It's happened a couple of years already for the Rams. Somebody makes themselves available. It's just exciting. But to getting D-Rob back in the mix was definitely a shout-out to the Rams front office for bringing D-Rob back.
So I imagine you're pretty happy about it too, Ian.
Yeah, look, guys, didn't we have this debate like maybe 2 weeks ago about Odell or DeMarcus Robinson? And I argued for DeMarcus. Not that I would have been opposed to Odell, because we still see the burners he's got. I mean, he killed us in that late December game. He still has a lot of playmaking ability, and that would have been cool to have him back for the right price. DeMarcus Robinson, he's only going to get $4 million with $1 million in possible incentives. So $5 million is the top he could get, which is, for a starting receiver, where three wide receivers is the standard now. I think we all agree on that, right? That's the standard for any offense. So you have three guys who could kill you. And DeMarcus Robinson is a guy who could kill you. So to get him for $4 million, $5 million tops, what a great signing. And my argument with the Odell DeMarcus thing was that DeMarcus blocks really, really good. Okay. That is an important, extremely mega factor in being a receiver in this offense. Think about Kupp, Puka, Skowronek. Think about Robert Woods. And then obviously Brandon Cooks couldn't, but he was special in different ways. Sammy Watkins could, but he was special in different ways. Odell couldn't block, but he was special in different ways. If you don't have this elite nature to you, you gotta block. And you can argue that DeMarcus's elite nature is those 50-50 jump ball, insanely contested catches, diving one hand this way. I mean, think about all the big time throwing catches that him and Stafford had together in that latter part of the season where he finally got his opportunity. I mean, what a bargain. I'm happy. And then, like I said, he can cut some people out of the way in the run game, which is mega important, which unfortunately that's something that Tutu can't do, even though I think he blocks pretty solid. But DeMarcus is able to bury people, which is important for a Sean McVay 11 personnel offense. So I'm happy. Thank God we got it done, because I would have been a little nervous about, not that Tutu can't play, but just that role. Because now think about it, guys. Puka's number one now, and I think we all can agree that he's our best receiver today. Healthy Kupp, D-Rob, Tutu, and Skowronek. That's a great five deep right there for a wide receiver room, I think.
So, yeah, I think they add a mid-round receiver.
We're going to drop people. We're going to drop some more people. I think receiver, running back, D-line and O-line, like, you got to drop that spot as much as possible every draft. I think,
right.
Do we all agree on that? I feel like that's the case.
Yeah, you never have enough depth at those positions, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the Rams checked one box on their to-do list, basically, so that's good.
Yes, and great start.
Yeah, right. Now, the other thing they did the other day is they hired this Sean Desai. And my take on this is, you know, they have a very, very young defensive coordinator. You could argue that he's inexperienced. He's been in the league for a while, but still. And he's been – is this a case of the Rams surrounding him with some experienced, you know, guys that have been around for a little bit just to help him out? Or is it just – they just want another smart guy in the room?
Well, from what I've understood from the great Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, who covers the Rams really well and gets all the inside scoop, he is going to be working exclusively with the offense. He will have no official role coaching players, coaching on the defense, game planning. He's going to be game planning with our offense.
Okay, so he's going to be presenting, he's going to be like a quality control from a defensive perspective for the offense?
I think his official role was titled senior defensive assistant, or advisor, one of the two. Senior defensive assistant or advisor. I mean, we can I can double check that real quick, but he's going to be working with the offense in the sense of, hey, we plan on doing this on game day. Hey, Desai, how would you try to counteract that if this is something that happens in game? Or how would you defend us if you were the San Francisco 49ers? You know, just getting a defensive-minded person's opinion to help out our offense. And I think that's okay because, look, I have friends that are Eagles fans. I've seen you Eagles internet, Twitter, Instagram. You guys laughed your asses off pretty good when we made this hire not too long ago. And even I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Because look, he was somebody who coached for a long time, college ranks, at least 10-plus years. Good for him. He is one of the first Indian, you know, heritage defensive coordinators, big-time coordinators in the NFL. Good for him as well. But his time as defensive coordinator, the Chicago Bears, he was His team was, or his defensive unit was ranked 22nd out of 32 for points given up. That's not good. This is not good. You're bottom half of the league. But his team was in the top six of best yards given up, the least, I should say. So that's cool, but they gave up a lot of points. Then we fast forward to his second stint in Philadelphia, which was a disaster. Let's just call it what it is. It was a disaster. For that team to be that talented, to come off a Super Bowl and underperform that badly, check it out. And I know that he was let go of his duties about, you know, the third quarter-ish way through the season, if you want to think of it that way, three-fourths through the way of the season. And that's not good in general. And the word on the street based off Philadelphia insider people was that once he got let go of play calling duties, that they didn't even let him in defensive meetings a majority of the season. I mean, damn, Nick Sirianni in Philly, like what the hell happened, man? And there were some players that have came out and said that he lacked confidence and all that. So real quick, and I'll let you go, Mark, I just want to share these stats. His team, and obviously Patricia took over and it got worse. Who saw that coming? They were ranked 26th in yards given up, which is bottom of the league almost. And they were 30th in points given up, which is three from last, or a couple of places away from last place in terms of points given up. So it was a disaster from the amount of good players that they had. So in this role with us, long story short, I'm happy that he has nothing to do with our defense. And we're not going to get that stain on Chris Jola's first time around calling plays. Let's just be honest about it. I'm happy about that. Help out Sean. Give him new ideas, maybe things he hasn't thought about, because he is from a 4-3 style of coaching. We run a 3-4. It's completely different, everybody. Not the same. So I think that'll be good for Sean and his knowledge. But stay away from our defense, which is happening. I'm happy.
Yeah, before I let Paul go, I was just going to say that I've heard some stories coming out of Philadelphia that there is some really strange stuff going on in that clubhouse among the coaches and the players that really contributed to derailing that team. Not good stuff. Stuff that can really poison a team, and I think that's what happened. What say you, Paul, about this? Go ahead.
One more time. Think about it. He got let go of his duties, and they weren't letting him in the defensive meetings.
Yeah.
What? Just fire the guy and say see you later. I mean, what are we doing anyway? That's just crazy.
What say you, Paul?
Yeah, it's an interesting move, you know, and in the way he's going to be utilized more, like you said, a consultant, really to help the offense sort of game plan, right? You know, how would somebody, you know, approach this? How would somebody approach that? What's the counter reaction by the offense, perhaps something of that nature? So, I mean, it is a curious move, to be honest with you. By the way, he does have his doctorate in educational administration. So Dr. Desai, right? At Temple, I think he got it from Temple. But you know what's interesting is that if you think of all the names that were out there, right? Why settle on him, right? And one of the things that I texted Ian was like, he does have a connection to Khalil Mack in a way, right? Also, from the days of when he was at the Bears. Maybe that was one of the reasons. But, you know, it's interesting that they brought him in as opposed to everybody else that was out there. But listen, look, football mind is a football mind. different perspective is a different perspective, right? McVay said that in a lot of different ways. But if you see what McVay is doing, and apart from the Desai move, is that basically bringing people on, people that he's comfortable with, people that he has some background on, right? People who might be brings a unique sort of skill set and giving them very, very specific roles. That's what he's doing. And I think what he's trying to do is just look at sort of that whole coaching sphere in its entirety and saying, all right, creating these digestible slices that he can take off his plate, right? And giving them to people that are able to, I guess, if you want to say, handle that particular assignment. So he can really focus on what he needs to do. And I think the move we had talked about last time when he hired Stretch, Coach Stretch, that to handle things like game management and time, I'd say it speaks volumes. He's like, look, we got to get better at certain things. He's like, I want to get back to doing what I do best, right? And I think that's a real positive, right? It's a real, the guy's a dynamo. There's no question about it, but you can only be in so many places. And when a head coach starts to delegate like this, it's a mark of a coach that's really ascending. And it's the mark of a championship caliber type of organization. I think Belichick did that. I don't think he gets recognized a lot. He did a really nice job. Look how many times he brought back certain coordinators over and over and over again. And look how many coordinators he developed from within, from like lower positions, moved them right up the ladder. So, you know, I agree with Ian. This is definitely a curious person to bring on. But look, they found a role for him. Who knows? There might be some other things in the works. I'm all in on the Khalil Mack. I think the Mack attack in Royal and Seoul, I definitely think this had something to do with it. I don't think Sean Desai out of the scrap heap for no reason because you want him to be a consultant. There has to be something involved in that. But I think the Rams are also going to bring in like one or two more consultant types. I really do. I think they've had a lot of success with it. We all know about a latter part of last year when they were talking about that for the O-line. So I think they're going to bring in, another one or two type of scenarios like this.
Yeah, and worth mentioning that he did spend, I think, at least 1 year in Seattle as well. I'm not sure what his role there was in between the Bears and the Eagles, I think.
He had 1 year as quality control previously. I think it might have been with Chicago. Or actually, it might have been with Seattle. You might have been right. That might have been the year he was quality control.
Okay, let's move on to this next topic, and that is the new salary cap. Man, talk about a bump. Woo-hoo! It was crazy. I mean, you look at the history of the salary cap over the last 30, 40 years, maybe not that long, 30 years or so, and it's pretty incredible. And I'm kind of torn on this. It's obviously, you know, your first reaction is, hey, Rams even have more money to go out and spend. But there's the other side of it. I don't know, maybe I'm being pessimistic here. You know, there are some of our rivals that are really up against it on the salary cap, and now they have a little bit of room. But just something to bear in mind, everybody gets the extra money is what I'm saying. And some of the teams that had no money to spend, now they do have a little bit to spend. But how do you feel about the new salary cap, and what do you think? Does this change the Rams' strategy, maybe make them a little more aggressive, Ian?
Oh, you bet your behind that's the case, everybody. And look, it to everybody saying, oh, my God, we have so much money. Okay, let's take a step back and realize that approximately $12 million of everyone's available salary cap space has to be dedicated to the draft picks, the college kids that every team is going to draft. It's maybe some more, some a little bit less, but let's just say that $12 million range is where that money is going to be spent towards your rookies. And that's the case for every team, okay? So whatever that number is for us, other teams that you might like, other teams that you hope have no money, $12 million of that's got to go to the rookies. So San Fran, I know you're in a hole. $12 million, we can cut that off, right? And Seattle. And shout out to the Buffalo Bills, whose GM said, we didn't want to be in cap hell about a season and a half ago. And they're currently ranked 32nd bottom of the barrel in terms of cap space. So funny how that worked out.
Aren't they 75 million? Is it 75 or I mean, they're deep.
In the, yeah, they're deep in the hole. So ain't that funny how that works, gentlemen? Anyway, but in terms of the benefit for us, I mean, look it. Les Snead, Sean McVay, Tony Pastores, Kevin Demoff, all were at an event last night for the season ticket members out at the YouTube theater that's attached to SoFi Stadium. I saw some clips from some friends from World Tour Rams. Shout out to that booster club. We've had great times together going to games and watch parties. They were doing some secretive videos to show people who could not be there what was going on and what the interviews and the live show was about. And all four of our big boys in the organization that I named, they all said, hey, every avenue is available to us to be able to acquire players. The money is there. Tony Pastore says, well, I know we have our number. Everybody has an idea, but there's more because, you know, he'll rework that cap to absorb as many great players as possible. Even Les Snead said the same thing, Sean, Kevin. So this is a great thing for us. And it plays into my super mega fantasy dream scenario of Danielle Hunter and Khalil Mack being teamed up with us, right? That's some more money to sign a Hunter, sign a Mack, to get a Snead, to trade for a Burns, maybe to trade for a Josh Allen, to do anything you want to do and still re-sign Kevin Dotson, one of the best guards in football, and still acquire other good veterans. So I think it's great. I think it's great that the NFL is king in this country, is starting to overtake a lot of the world sports in a great way. And with all that, and probably Taylor Swift and her Swifties probably added some of those millions to everyone's pockets, just to be honest about it, I'm thankful. And it's going to benefit us greatly when free agency hits very, very soon. So happy about that.
How about you, Paul? How you feel about it? What's your vibe with the new salary cap and what are the Rams are going to do with it?
Yeah, well, I think it's a couple of things. You know, the salary cap space is because salaries are going up as well. So, you know, the average player makes every year goes up, especially, I mean, think about some of the salary projections right now. They're just off the charts. Akella Witherspoon, you know, being projected at $11 million, that's, you know, hey, look, he did well for us, but $11 million, that's a steep number right there. So if you think about it, so, you know, putting the draft allocation to the side for a moment, you know, it's very significant for us because particularly with, you know, the key free agent signing being Dotson, right, which just has to happen, you know. And I think people are looking at it the wrong way. They're looking at it from the salary perspective. I understand that part of it, but you have to understand, like, you can't go into a season saying we want to win it all and be like, yeah, but I don't want to win it with my best players. Doesn't make sense. The way you win a championship is with your best players. You got to find the best players and bring them in, you know? So, I mean, let's go back to D-Rob for a second. For a wide receiver three position, right? We know our team plays the 11. He's on the field all the time. So think about that. He's a starter. You got a starter at a number, right? We said with incentives, a $5 million hit. That's a luxury that a lot of teams can't even, you know, fathom with the ability of bringing in a 4WR that might be off the charts. Who knows? Right. Yeah. You do like they did a couple of years ago, wait till halfway through the season and say, all right, now let's go bring in like an Odell Beckham or somebody like that. Who knows? Right. So I think the way you have to look at it is, you know, and Mark and I were laughing, right, when Mark got the update about the salary increase, we were like, oh, the phone is ringing right now. Hey, Kevin, did I catch you at a bad time? You know, this is less, you know, let's talk contract. So every little bit is going to help the Rams. I think the Rams have to be smart about what they do, right? You want to build from from a position of strength, which is what they have. They have an opportunity or the window is open, you know, go out, get Dotson, get some other players that fit your system. There are going to be a lot of people chasing a ring this year. I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of people chasing a ring. If they are smart as an organization from a geography standpoint, right? We said, listen, when the opportunity presents itself, snatch it. Do not make the same mistake twice. The Rams have made big mistakes when it comes to personnel over the last 2 years. They have. Yeah, they have not pulled the trigger when that opportunity presented itself. And they cannot make that mistake again this year. If the opportunity presents itself, a la Mac, listen, he's already in LA. He wants to stay in LA, right? You got to be hyper aggressive. Listen, you have to be. Listen, for every time the Rams call that number, there are how many other teams calling that number? It's just a reality.
Yeah.
So the Rams, have to flex right now. They got to flex their muscles from a personnel standpoint.
And real quick, Mark, I just want to share this before we continue this conversation. So we're 12th in the entire league right now with the total cap space. But for all the teams that made the playoff tournament this past season, we're ranked number 4 out of all those teams in terms of cap space. What a great spot to be in.
Crazy. Yeah. And the other thing that we have to remember, and I harp on this over and over and over again, if you look at in the NFC specifically, the quarterback situation in the NFC, how many NFC teams that are chasing a ring that have a quarterback with 3 minutes left in the NFC championship game, you're just so confident that they can get it done. And there's maybe two or three, you know, Stafford and Hurts.
I can't put Hurts in that category.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. Is it just Stafford? Stafford? Maybe it's just Stafford.
I would trust Baker over Hurts. I can't trust Dak. Maybe Purdy, because he's been a good starter.
None of them in that situation. It's Stafford number one, right?
Yeah. Geno Smith, no. who else you want to go down?
Justin Fields, Kyler Murray.
Goff has been good. Okay.
Yeah. They're good quarterbacks. I mean, there are good quarterbacks in the conference, but none of them have what Stafford has, is all I'm saying.
That is the way you start that discussion, is that, listen, you have Stafford. Act like you have Stafford.
Right.
That's the issue. Yeah. No. And listen, you know, this is a Rams podcast, so we have to keep it 100, right? We're going to keep it C-note. Listen, the Rams have given up on two seasons back-to-back. They gave up on 22, right? They gave up last year, and it was, you know, and it turned out that, holy cow, look at what we've discovered, right? They did not go into that season thinking that they were going for it. So, you know, as much as we're saying, all right, let's start getting to the championship mindset, it's hard to do that when you've had 2 years of like, all right, let's call it a day mindset. So this is not going to be an easy shift. So you have to bring, even more importantly, right, they have to start talking about, let's remind ourselves where we're at. Think about what we have.
Yeah.
We have Stafford. We have Iron Kyron. We have King Cup. We have Puka. You know, right off the bat, we have four. How many teams? Let's start right now in the NFC can say that. Now, immediately, right, there you go. The pack gets smaller, and that has to be the mindset in that locker room.
And you didn't even mention Aaron Donald.
Absolutely.
Let me share
this with you before we move on, because related to the salary cap, I started working on a list of the things the Rams need to get done before opening day. And it's not really ready for prime time, but I think the top three, see if you guys agree with me, and they're all salary cap expenditures. They're all money items as opposed to draft. And number one is Kevin Dotson or a similar player.
No question.
There's other guys out there that would fill the bill. Dotson would be first choice though. The second thing is a number one cornerback. Need to find ourselves a number one. We can't hope to draft a number one cornerback. I think we need to go sign one. I mean, feel free to disagree. And the third thing is a surefire proven edge rusher. And that's kind of the three things we've talked about.
I think that and the Dotson is 1A, 1B, depending on which side of the ball you like more. You know, what you value. I mean, that edge rusher spot's incredibly important, and I'm gonna keep mentioning it until it comes into existence. Give me the Mac Thunder combo, dang it! Come on, figure it out.
That's exactly right. You know, we talked about it last time. Is the Mac Hunter scenario that far out of the realm of possibility? To me, it seems like
not anymore.
Right there.
Well, again, you have to. Right you have there. To. So the high prize are the high prize, as we like to call them, are the guard, the cornerback, and the edge rusher.
Yeah.
Before you start talking about a second edge rusher, I don't know. That would be it. You know, we also have to worry about the safety, a backup quarterback, a kicker, you know, some other things, but maybe our next left tackle. But yeah, those are the top. I think we all agree in the top three, though, a guard, cornerback, edge rusher. And then you guys both want a second edge rusher as well on top of that.
Yep. That's my dream scenario because the salary cap, let's do it. And Tony Pastore is that magic cap man, knows how to push money away to be able to acquire more people. I mean, real quick, think about it.
We'll deal with that down the road. We'll deal with that down the road.
Think about it real quick in the 21 championship. We started out the year with Leonard Floyd, who we paid, right? We started out with Justin Hollins, who was playing really good before he tore the pec. Then we had Obo Okoronkwo rotating in, and then we had Terrell Lewis. That was a good group of four right there. And then we said, hey, Denver, we'll give you a couple picks for Hall of Fame level Von Miller, who played like a Hall of Famer the last time he was in blue and gold, blue and yellow. Yeah. So we had five guys. So we had a Pro Bowl level player, a Hall of Famer starting. We had someone who was starting level until he tore his pec. We had a starting level player, Obo, who starts for Cleveland, by the way. And then we had Terrell Lewis, who had moments where you're like, oh my God, this guy's really good. So we had five guys.
Yeah.
So why not Khalil Mack? Why not Danielle Hunter? And then have Byron Young and Michael Hoyt rotate in with maybe somebody else we draft. That's what it takes to win a championship. You need multiple guys to get after the quarterback. So anyway, I'll stop on that dream scenario. I'm just trying to talk into existence, as you can see.
No, here. Yeah, it's a good discussion. That's the fun stuff. We could spend a whole roundtable.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And what about the mid-tier veterans now that you can bring on too?
Yeah,
to really strengthen your roster. You know, from like if you want to say, you know, the center of your roster up. So that's another thing that the Rams have done really, really well when they're. If you want to take a look at what they did in 22, even though we had a rough season, but you know, 21, 22, even 2020, they did a really nice job of bringing in those mid-tier vets to really strengthen their roster. And I think that's something to keep an eye out for. Listen, look, Coleman is not a high profile player for a lot of people, right? For us, it is because we're Ram fans. But from the outside, think about it. But that does speak to what we're talking about. The Rams do not see that just because he's sort of, you know, in that sort of mid range, right? For a lot of people, for us, he's not because, listen, the continuity, listen, we won with him at center. We can continue to win with him at center. But the continuity, the savings in terms of salary cap, just is, it's like priceless for us as a team. And it's really bear its weight in gold when you start bringing in these high-profile players.
Yeah, and I think Big Rob made some comments at the end of the season about how important Coleman Shelton was.
Multiple players have made comments about that before he was even signed.
Yeah.
So it's a smart move by the front office.
It's something you don't really see on tape, you know? Unless you watch real closely, maybe.
Hey, I'm an all-22 guy. Don't worry. Shout out to – people don't realize this. Coleman Shelton's from Los Angeles. I don't think fans realize that until you look it up. Look it, man. He's a Pasadena kid. I know you say, oh, that's more North Mounts. That's still Los Angeles, people.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Loyola High School, which is in the downtown area. I mean, that doesn't get any more LA than that.
Yeah, you can jump on it. Is it the 10 or the 2 and be in downtown in a jiffy? Right.
42 forever, baby. Jackie Robinson went to school out of Pasadena.
Yeah. Shoot.
Okay, next subject. And Brian Allen cut. We kind of all saw this coming. I was kind of sad to see him go. He was very. I'd never forget that draft call. I don't know if you remember that. Les Snead calling Brian Allen. Do you guys remember that? And he was, he was out in the woods, and it was like, you know, pretty cold in Michigan somewhere. And he was out in the woods, like, and had a fire going or something. And he was like, yep, just out here, got a fire going. Well, okay, well, we just drafted you. And it was just a real interesting scenario. But I think he was a really likable guy, and he played hard and fought through a lot of injuries. Oh, and it just wasn't in the cards anymore. But I guess we weren't really too surprised. The real question is the other shoe about to drop with Noteboom? What do you think, Paul? Do you think everybody seems every Rams chat room I've ventured into, every discussion I've seen on this subject, Ram fans seem to be expecting him to be gone or kind of hoping that he's gone.
Watch the sparks fly when you go into any of those rooms and mention his name. Holy cow, right?
Yeah.
But these are the tough decisions that have to be made, right? And for a lot of different reasons. I'm with you, man. I felt terrible when Brian Allen got cut. We saw it coming, right? He's a great player to have on the team. He's a great story. Who knows? Maybe, hey, I always say karma happens for a reason, you know? Listen, you never know, somewhere down the line, maybe this season even, right, he winds up back on the Rams at a reduced number, right? What made him expendable was that number, right? But bottom line is, hopefully he'll wind up back with us, because he's rambly through and through. He's a blue collar player. You know, he gave it all for the Rams. Stafford loves him, by the way. They're tight as can be. So you never know. He might find his way back on the Rams roster, but at a reduced number. Noteboom is an interesting scenario. Look. Whether to keep him, whether or not to keep him. Listen, sometimes you have to think with up here and not so much down here. And Noteboom is that. So what should be done? I don't really know, right? Because of multiple reasons. Here's what I do know. If you cut Noteboom, you have very little depth at tackle. Very little. That's the bottom line. Zero. Yeah. I mean, listen, AJ Okwara, we all have like a thumbs up that he can do it, but do we really want to roll in that direction if we have to? But
no.
So that's the issue. That is the issue. Now, the Rams might have other plans with that money. They said, we're going to bring in tackles anyway, right? We're going to build depth in another format. That's okay. Noteboom's play when he's on is not as bad as people are making out. However, when he has a bad game, he has a bad game. Holy cow. Right? Like when he's not on, he has a bad game. But when he's in there, and sometimes the other thing for me is, listen, they got to keep Stafford healthy. Whatever they decide, it has to be a cohesive unit, and you have to be at least 7 quality O-line deep. That's my opinion, right? It is very hard to get through an NFL season with just 5 linemen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're very, very lucky if no one on your O-line gets hurt for a significant amount of time. So that's the way you really have to approach it. So am I advocating for keeping him? No. What I'm saying is you got to look at it from this perspective. You cannot go with such little tackle depth through an entire NFL season. Now, the Teron Smith scenario, which is floating around, makes a lot of sense. But once again, do the numbers add up? That's the other key. And you just, you know, Teron Smith is not the answer by himself, because why? Look at his injury history. So for a lot of people that are saying get rid of Noteboom, their solution is always to bring in a player who's just as off injured as the guy you're cutting.
So be careful what you ask for. What about you, Ian? Are you team Noteboom?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is the cap charge, right? I think we all agree that we gave him the money to be the starter, and he got his job beat out. Same like Brian Allen. And real quick, before I jump to the Noteboom, I just want to shout out Brian Allen for being a Super Bowl starting center and playing his first 4 years on an unguaranteed contract. I mean, that's pretty crazy if you think about it. For him to be drafted incredibly late, for him to play every year where he had no money secured, and then for him to start and be a Super Bowl champion center. Shout out to him. And
look, steady player. Rock steady.
And real quick to why he lost the job. Guys, we switched schemes. He was solid in a zone blocking scheme, which is more area blocking, long story short. Coleman Schoen was a better gap scheme center, or is a better gap scheme center, because you have a direct area or a person you have to block in a more aggressive downhill style. And he's just better than Brian Allen, which is why he lost his job. And again, kudos to him. I hope he's back on a cheaper deal, if that's even possible, because he wasn't getting a ton of money anyway. And look, we're going to eat $3 million-ish in dead money, but we're going to save about $5 million. And what happened? That $5 million, we flipped to re-signing DeMarcus Robinson. So it all kind of worked out in general. But to your new note boom point, it's the cap charge. It's the money. We gave him starting left tackle money, and he's not a starting left tackle for us right now, right? Alaric Jackson beat him out, and I'm all for best man win the job. But unless Tony Pastores can figure out a way to, rearrange that cap charge, which is possible. But again, we'll just be pushing it down farther down the road. And do they want to do that again? Does the team want that? Does Tony Pastores, does Noteboom want that? I mean, I can't imagine that Noteboom's going to agree to a pay cut. Because look, it's hard in the NFL, the not-for-long league, to get as much money as possible. So I don't think he's going to take less money. So I just think it's either going to be a workaround by Tony, or they're going to cut him. And it either or is kind of rough for now or the future. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think I see Paul's concern is if we cut him and we're kind of back in the same situation with the left tackle depth wise. And how good is Alaric Jackson? He's pretty good. Is that the offensive line that's going to take you to a Super Bowl without Noteboom backing him up? You'll have Alaric Jackson, Steve Avila, maybe Coleman Shelton. Let's say it's Shelton, Dotson, and Havenstein. No improvement, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think if they sign Dotson, Noteboom's gone. I think if they sign Dotson, numbers don't add up, unfortunately. But then the Rams have to really pay attention to bringing in, a lot of guys we've talked about, veteran guys, to really shore up that O-line from a depth standpoint. And I don't think that's a bad move, tell you honestly.
Yeah. I think they're going to draft with the draft players are going to help them win now. But the one exception could be left tackle. I could see them drafting a left tackle early.
Real quick, gentlemen, and this is the issue. I have the numbers in front of me. His cap number is $20 million for this upcoming season. If we cut him, we're only saving $5 million. So is that cutting him off the team, saying see you later? Is that really worth it for $5 million?
For two positions. Positions that he covers, guard and tackle.
Yeah. And is that, if we trade him, it's the same charge. We're still going to take on $15 million in dead money, and we're only going to be saving $5
million. It seems to me, you might as well wait until June 1st after the draft, in my opinion, but
This might be one of those scenarios where, you have to let – it's a bad contract no matter how you look at it, because he's not a starter, right? This might be a scenario where you got to let him play through the contract, man, because what he's bringing you in covering two areas might come out to be a push in terms of what you're bringing in.
Well,
one thing in the Rams' favor is this, and we talked about it. Center and guard in the draft, right? And we gave – and last time – when Mark and I were doing the draft picks and everything else, is that we sort of bounced that around. And that's my belief, is that is one area that if you draft high in the draft is going to save you a lot of money. If you bring in two, let's take a couple of names, right? Everybody knows how much I like JPJ. I also like the kid from West Virginia, Frazier. You bring those guys in who could play guard and tackle. There are a couple of other guys we talked about. Yeah, we talked about BB even, right? These guys could play from day one. So even if they were your depth, they're coming in on a rookie deal. You got that deal for 4 years, right? 3 or 4 years you got that deal. It's going to save you a ton of money. And if push comes to shove and they have to play, you're going to be okay. These guys can play. So the draft, particularly for interior alignment, center guard scenario, tackle is a whole different story. But center guard scenario, you can cover yourself in the draft. So signing Dotson and then playing the certain picks in the draft to cover your set and guards, center and guard scenario, I think is a very cost-effective play.
And Noteboom, can he not play four positions on the offensive line?
He has.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we just talked it through the scenario of like, yeah, he's probably going to stick around. The savings is not worth the cut, really, right? I mean, yeah, that's just for his value and how he is a starting level player. I think we all could agree on that.
Yeah,
he's just not good enough for this team, unfortunately. Like, but he's going to be valuable, man. He's gonna play this year. Let's just be real about it.
Yeah,
he's going to play important snaps for some time this season if he stays.
Yeah, if Alaric Jackson limps off late in the first half, do you want Zach Thomas or Joseph Noteboom coming out?
Mark, never say that again, Mark.
Sorry. Mr. and Mrs. Thomas.
The Monday night flashbacks.
Well, our next subject was going to be Coleman Shelton, but we've kind of already covered that. We want him re-signed. We hope that happens. And apparently the Rams are trying to make headway in that regard. Any additional comments on Coleman Shelton at this point, Ian, or do you think we've talked that through enough?
Well, I mean, hey, he's a good blocker in the gap scheme, right? That's why Brian Allen's no longer on the squad. And he's going to be at an affordable price for a starting level center. Let's just make it happen, Rams. And Sean McVay's already said, hey, we're working through it. We want him back. I want him back. So I assume it's going to happen. L.A. native, Pasadena kid, Loyola High School, football player. Come on. The hometown center is probably going to stick around. Hey.
Yeah, and Paul's really getting me excited about a lot of these interior offensive linemen in the draft, and I'd love to grab one of these. BB, the Oregon State guy, Powers Johnson. There's a couple of others.
Frazier, you got Bo Limmer, and you have a lot of really good guards. We talked about the kid from Texas A&M, the later round pick that I like. But, listen, the NCAA, you got to look how college football is sort of evolving as well. They're doing a great job of developing, for whatever reason, the interior linemen are light years ahead of the tackles that are coming out in the draft of the last couple of years. Obvious reasons, right? And you got to know what's at your disposal. It's a nice way, like I said, it's a nice way to bring in those rookie contracts to really offset the money you're spending on the O-line. Listen, you have to spend on the O-line. This is not like 20 years ago where guards were getting, a significantly lower number. Veteran guards in the NFL that can pass block are going to get paid. If you're not going to pay them, another championship team will. Do not make them that mistake again that they did with Corbett. Do not make that mistake again. Your entire right side of your offensive line is done. If they sign Coleman and Dotson, check, check, check. There it is. You got Avila, check.
And then Alaric's a restricted free agent too, right?
Yeah, I expect him to be back.
He's not going.
They're bringing him back. Listen, theoretically, you have your five. You could only get better. You want to bring in Teron Smith for some competition? Listen, Alaric, I think people are sleeping on Alaric Jackson. Listen, this guy openly said, open it up to competition. I will be the starter. That's what he said.
He said, stop rolling
out all these guys that can't play on Sunday, and you got me watching from the bench. Listen, this is the kind of nasty you want out there. I think people are sleeping on this guy. He's not going to give up that left tackle spot so easily. But having that luxury of bringing him back at an RFA number, you're not going to have that luxury much longer, right? No. He has another great season. You're in trouble. This dude's going to get a lot of money. So you got to be careful with that. Look at what you have. Bring back all five of your guys. Build quality depth. Be patient. Other players are going to come out, whether it's free agency, whether it's cuts. We still got our June cuts coming. June cuts are always my favorite because there are a lot of juicy players come out, right, that we can use. So there's going to be opportunity there, but you got to start by bringing back your core five.
Yeah,
I think they're on the right track. Okay, on to the next one and the next topic here. It's interesting, you guys wanted to talk about this. And I have to be quite frank, I'm not sure how meaningful this is, Sean McVay being added to the competition committee. Is it something Ram fans should be paying attention to, Ian?
Well, I would say yes in the respect of how will Sean McVay's influence help the game in a positive way on this committee? Now, the competition committee consists of coaches, head coaches, front office executives, obviously the league office members, and some head referees, if I'm not mistaken. And they meet, I think, at least two or three times a year in person. I think the other times are, you know, Zoom, StreamYard, and others. But they discuss all the BS we see on Sundays, good and bad. And I think it'll help the game, help the Rams in the sense of, hey, do you remember that that middle of the year game against the Steelers when the refs completely spotted the ball in the worst spot possible on the failed Kenny Pickett quarterback sneak? Hey, do you remember that? How about instead of human eyes making that final call, how about we get the booth upstairs to make that final call? How about we have a sky judge to make that call? I'm sure that would be something Sean McVay pushes for heavily. And I think that's something that most head coaches and anybody that's rooting for their team to have the right calls on the field be in their favor would want, right?
It just occurred to me if Kyle Shanahan was on the competition committee, he probably would have known about the overtime rule, huh?
Well, I think you are right, my friend. And luckily, I think Sean McVay's pretty self-aware in his flaws, where he said jokingly on his new season press conference reporter, he's like, hey, I guess being on this committee will help me not screw up my timeouts so early in games. So at least the man is self-aware, everybody. He's self-aware. So. Yeah. And like I said, the refereeing sky judge is one scenario, but those are things that are purposely brought up by coaches, executives to figure out, hey, how do we make the game better and flow better? And how do we have a better product? So I think for that reason, for other reasons that we can all kind of, you know, bounce off each other and other things that we may not think of, it's going to benefit the Rams because our guy is in those meetings and will be in those meetings for quite some time to advance the game, to make it better for the NFL and for Rams football. So I think it's good that he's a part of it because all these important little discussions that people don't think of until your team is screwed over in some weird way, it's important. And I think that's why Rams fans should care so we can get things straightened out on game day. No more BS stuff happening.
Anything to add, Paul?
No, I think, you know, I think the addition of Sean McVay, it makes a lot of sense. He's a young coach. He's an innovative coach. He's a forward thinker. The NFL does at times have sort of an archaic approach to certain aspects of the game. We've seen that, right? But it also, and you know, we're, you know, talking about the timeout scenario, the overtime scenario in the show, which I still don't believe. I cannot believe, honestly. I know they have the sound bites of players and coaches not knowing the rules. I'm like, how is that even possible? But, you know, yeah. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they did know the rules. But if they didn't, this is the reason that, you know, the McVay being on the committee is such a big deal. I think the game is evolving so quickly, right? Just naturally, just happens organically. The game is evolving so quickly. And that you need to have this type of approach to sort of keep up with it. Right. Like, you know, remember when it wasn't too long ago where when they went back to what was it? Which was a rule I love, the automatic reviews. I thought that was probably one of the smartest things the NFL ever did. Right. For scoring plays and things of that nature. So I think that was a great move. That's a great illustrative example. So I think I agree with what Sean McVay said. That's a great honor that they selected him. I think the reason that they did select him was I do think he's a young, innovative coach who's had some success. He's also very even keel. I could see him in that room, you know, sort of being productive in his discussions and not being only like coach centric. So, I think it's great for the game of football. I think the game is evolving. And I think, like, for example, you know, we all joke about it. you know, if you really want to, you know, if throw away all the classic IQ tests and ask just anybody one question, give me the definition of a catch by NFL rules. That would be like a classic IQ test right now, because I don't think anybody could answer that question, right? Jeez. It's so bizarre. But getting input from, you know, a coach, you know, I think an NFL coach who, like I said, is bright, innovative, and on the cutting edge of things, I think was a really great move. And I think that's an example of how it's going to help the game progress.
Speaking of rules for a second, did you guys hear the proposal that they're at least considering, I think, about changing the kickoffs? Did you guys hear that? Changing the kickoffs yet again?
They want to go to the XFL style, correct? Right. Is that the goal? So let's get this. Let's walk through this as fast as possible here. So the XFL, which I think has done a lot of cool things. I think some of their camera angles were cool. I think some of their just the way it's played. I think it's enjoyable. And I think, when does that league start, by the way, that XFL, USFL, or whatever it was, UFL merger? When that starts
spring.
Soon,
it's
right?
supposed to be in the spring, right?
Yeah, it's pretty soon, right? So, hey, right on. But real quick, I think to kind of bring that all together of what the XFL kickoff rules are is that the kicker is by himself very far away from the rest of the kickoff team, right? Isn't it like 25 yards?
I think they're on the opposing team. I think they're on the opposing team's 35.
Yeah, that's pretty hard. It's pretty hardcore, honestly. And the point is that until the player catches, or the return man catches it, that's when the opposing kickoff team can take off. Is that correct?
So it reduces collisions, speed of collisions.
And then, think about it, guys. Think about how many kickoffs were not returned this year because of like, hey, I'll just fair catch it and we'll start at the 25. I get that from a scheme and advantage standpoint, but for the pure entertainment, the pure joy of that side of football special teams, for all the punters out there who are in the Hall of Fame, for all the kickers, the kick returners who have made their names, made their money. I mean, Devin Hester is a Hall of Famer just for returning kicks, right? Cordell Patterson is a household name for returning kicks. We can think of other guys. For that to have been taken away based upon the set of rules that have been in place, it's a shame. So I think maybe the XFL style will help more kicks be returned,
My first question, and maybe I haven't thought it through very well, and I don't watch the XFL, maybe I should. How do onside kicks work?
I don't know. I would assume it would be the normal positions, right? And we're just kind of all aware, like, hey, that's what's happening.
But if the kicking team is in the other team's on the other side of the 50, I don't know. I'll have to see it. I'm sure there's an answer. That's something I'll have an answer for you next round table. Never ask questions you don't know the answer to, I guess, is the key there. I just couldn't figure out in my head how onside kicks will work. And hey, if anybody watching this knows how onside kicks in the XFL work, let us know. Maybe there's some videos out there of onside kicks. I don't know. It just seems in my head, it just seems bizarre how you could even execute an onside kick with the way those players are aligned. How would you feel about that kickoff situation? It's going to make, like Ian says, it's going to improve the entertainment value of the kickoffs, because the kickoffs, you can basically leave the room at this point.
Yeah, special teams has definitely been impacted by the rules. If you think about the number of extra points that have been missed since they moved back, it's not a gimme anymore, right? Think about that. That's been exciting, right? So there you go, a direct impact by a rule change on special teams. But yeah, the concussion scenario on kickoffs, you know, we don't see the wedge busters anymore and everything else, right? I mean, those were some violent collisions. You know what? I think kickoffs, to me, if there is an area of football if they want to take the safe route, I'm okay with it because of the number of injuries, would be on kickoffs, right? I would like it, you know, the fair catch idea I thought was a great idea. I said, listen, if people are just going to kick it out of the end zone anyway, let's just fair catch it. Let's get a start. You know, things that maybe now it might be like, if you don't kick it off in the end zone, somebody fair catches it, maybe move that up 5 yards, right? To really encourage teams to really have a place kicker. Because what are we starting to see now? Place kickers getting a little shakier, right? That position getting a little shakier, getting devalued. That, listen, hey, look, you know, move that part. If you fair catch it, if it's in the field of play, we'll put you up 5 yards. So you're not penalizing the offense. That might be a way, in my opinion, that might be a smart way to get it. So forcing people to have quality place kickers and guys that are going to boot it out of the end zone with consistency. All right. So that, and I'm only thinking about that because I, you know, this scenario with the extra points, how many extra points have been missed since they moved that back to a legitimate kick range? But I think, yeah, special teams has definitely taken a hit. There are teams that don't even, like the Rams, they don't even try to return punts anymore. They just want to fair catch. They just take the safe way out.
Yeah, the new rules they've been playing by, actually, from a Rams fan's perspective, hasn't hurt us because our return teams have been so bad. Yeah. I'm almost happy to see Trammell back there making a fair catch. And at least we don't avoid the disaster.
You know? Special teams right now is just, you know, the whole concept is just permeated with the fear of injury. You know, everything is the fear of injury. You know, we'd rather have these players available to us on offense and defense rather than lose them on special teams. But still, the third phase, right? You know, I think slowly what we're starting to see is the third phase is becoming somewhat of a – I mean, it'll always be relevant. The Rams lost the game on the third phase against Baltimore. We saw that.
Yeah. Right? And I think if we think back, Kyren Williams, rookie year, hurt on special teams. And if I'm not mistaken, Tutu Atwell, I think it was his rookie year, hurt on special teams as well, returning a punt, right? So there you go. And two, you know, Kyren more than Tutu, but two valuable players. And, you know, we don't need them out there for special teams anymore. Hey, let's close out with a fun topic. We're going to talk secondary. We should probably say that for another time because that's going to be a long discussion. I know Paul's going to want to talk about a bunch of guys in the draft, free agents, safeties and cornerbacks. But so, Ian, is this Hermosa Beach draft party on? I heard it on something. I heard a blurb on the radio a couple of weeks ago, and the Rams were negotiating, if that's the word, with the city of Hermosa Beach to get this done. It is a deal.
Sounds like a deal to me, based off Kevin Demoff's comments yesterday at the season ticket fan event. Again, I was not there. I do not have season tickets. That will be the goal very soon, hopefully. But based off, like I stated earlier in the pod, I got some buddies there doing some deep Rams reconnaissance on their phones, right? And revealing some of the things that were said. And again, it's not top secret or stuff like that. But Kevin said that is the plan, to have a official draft party for first round and the sequential days after that, to be in Hermosa Beach somewhere. Will it be on the pier? Probably. Will it be somewhere else? I don't know. And those details haven't been officially announced, but based off COO Kevin Demoff's comments, it's happening in Hermosa, which is not very far away from SoFi Stadium, everybody. Just down the 105, just follow west. Go to the nice, beautiful blue sky, and you'll end up there very fast. So
yeah,
not too far away. I might go if that's the case. We'll see how that ends up being or where it's going to be. But I think that'd be fun for everybody because we haven't had a ton of those official ones. And again, everyone has their crew, their club, their booster club, their family, who they want to watch draft, and that's great. But remind me if I'm wrong. I don't think the Rams have had a legit one because we haven't had a first-round pick, right? There's nothing to gather for on this big football holiday that is draft day.
And they're going to trade back into the second. Yeah. But
it's probably likely, too, that's going to happen.
Yeah, and if those of you are unfamiliar with the area, we call it the South Bay, right? Is that Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, Manhattan Beach, really nice area. Lots of nice restaurants. Manhattan Beach has a pier. I think, do all three have piers, I think? And a really nice stretch. Yeah, really nice stretch of sand. We've gone down there a couple of times for the, they got a nice comedy club there in, I think it's Hermosa Beach. So you can very easily, spend two nights in that area. I sound like I'm working for the Visitors Bureau here for Hermosa Beach, but you can very easily spend a couple of nights there and have a really good time. So you guys want to talk cornerbacks another day? Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. That's an hour discussion in itself based off who's here, who's coming back, who's not, and then potential.
Yeah, so. and I guess the combine could impact at least Paul's going to be paying attention to the combine. I'll try to find some notes as well. And I don't know if it's going to change Sean McVay's opinion on those top five cornerbacks. There's a lot of second round, third round cornerbacks. It's a really deep cornerback draft, isn't it, Paul?
It's a top heavy cornerback draft.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's deep, but it's a top heavy draft. I think if you don't go corner early, you're going to be in a world of pain.
Yeah, but that's a group we've been kind of forgetting about a little bit with the Dotson talk and DeMarcus Robinson offensive line. You know, we have right now we need cornerbacks and safety. So let's plan on doing that. Well, unless something really exciting happens over the next week, let's plan on doing talking cornerbacks and safeties next week. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good to me. And real quick, while we were discussing this, I was able to figure out what that onside kick thing is in the XFL. So you have your traditional kickoff in the XFL where everyone's very separated from kicker to kickoff team, right? That 15-yard, 10-yard gap. And if you choose to do a traditional onside kick, then everyone will line up in the traditional spots, right?
So it's like if you're going for a two-point conversion, you have to alert the other team.
Or I forgot about this because St. Louis Battlehawks pulled this off in this last season of the XFL where you can say, hey, I don't want an onside kick. Let's do the other option, which is we're going to have a 4th and 15 play from our own 25-yard line. And if we convert it, we keep the ball.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about that. I like
that. Yeah. Oh, man. If I'm on the receiving end of that, I'm so nervous as a you know, if your opponent, the Buffalo Bills, are trying to convert that, let's say they've just scored and they're down by 6 and now they're going to try to convert a 4th and 15. Yeah, that'd be nerve-wracking.
It would, but that is the other
that would be exciting though.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. I would rather have Matthew Stafford throw to our guys and have a chance for that than an onside kick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I think the odds. Hey, Striker, Stretch, or whatever his name is. I'm going to get it right soon, everybody. Sorry. But I wonder what his take would be if that rule is in place. I bet he would be like, yeah, let Glock 9, Matthew Stafford, figure it out on that 4th and 15. So if the NFL were to do those XFL rules, I would be in favor of that completely. So anyway,
yeah, and especially I think it'd be a big advantage, perhaps. I'm just thinking off the top of my head to, you know, if you have quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, those types of guys too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because now like the way the overtime rules were set up so that the game never ends, right? Yeah. Because somebody always argues, well, if I had one more possession, well, if you had one more possession, you know, you should have scored, right? But the bottom line is, you know, it sort of is congruent with the overtime rules, right? And think of a lot of teams. They're like, listen, the opportunities of recovering an onside kick are fairly low, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's percentage points, basically. So
yeah.
Being able to say, oh, listen, I'll roll the dice 4th and 15. We convert it. We keep it. You know, it's like a little bit of backyard fun as well. So it brings a little bit more excitement to the game. I would be all for that because I would rather do that than an onside kick any time of the day.
Onside kicks are,
it's a gamble.
Yeah, the success rate's so low. Okay, guys.
Are you doing free kicks again? That would be exciting.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thanks for joining. Really appreciate it. And we'll do this again. And Paul, I'll sync up with you for another mock draft. And Ian, let me know when you're ready. You want to participate in a mock draft? You're more than welcome. I'll always alert you when we're going to do one, and you're welcome to join.
And
we'll do it.
And Ramily, tune in on YouTube. Check out the day 3 Puka Power Picks. Some really cool players
that
fit perfectly on this team.
Yeah, two really good videos on the channel right now, the mock draft number 4 and Puka Power Picks. And we'll get this posted as well. Okay, guys, out here. Thanks a lot.
Double barrel ram horns.
Okay, bye.
That's right, baby. Hey, the season is just getting started.
Yeah, good times. Greens is upon us.
Oh, baby, it's time, man.
Give me more in 24, baby.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There we go.
Okay, guys. that's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at laramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.